Our Haftorah this week is from Sefer Melachim, Melachim Aleph, Perek Beis, and a very, very clear and obvious association between the Haftorah and the Parsha, and that is that, of course, this week's Parsha, Parshas Vayechi, is about Yaakov Avinu. As his death approaches, he prepares for his departure from this world by summoning his children, blessing them, instructing them, sharing last thoughts with them. And that is precisely what the Haftorah is all about as well. The Haftorah begins with Vayikrevu Yemei David Lamus Vayitzav Es Shlomo Beno Lemor. That David senses that his end is approaching, and he too summons and instructs his son Shlomo. Now some have noted, Avisoch Yaakovson quotes in his Sefer, that some have noted the differences and the contrast between Yaakov approaching the end of his life, and he summons all of his children, all 12, gather around to receive his blessings and to carry on his legacy. Whereas David, who certainly had many children, and like Yaakov, had numerous wives, yet sadly perhaps one of his children, Avshalom, rebelled and was killed by Yoav. Another one of his children, Adonijo, also sought just in the beginning of Sefer Melachim to take and seize the throne as David is getting older, elderly, and perhaps more vulnerable. And the only one that David instructs and calls to his bedside, as it were, to carry on his legacy is Shlomo, of all his sons, just one. So perhaps a bit of a sad note in the Haftorah, that David only has one son to instruct to carry on his legacy. But leaving that aside for the moment, the clear message from both the Parsha and the Haftorah is the importance of leaving a last ethical will to one's children. And this message, which is certainly demonstrated by Yaakov Avinu and by David HaMelech, is something that we find Gedolei Yisrael throughout the generations did as well. And this was what Rav Pam used to speak about on this week's Haftorah, how Gedolei Yisrael throughout the generations felt it important to share with their children before their passing some last words of advice, of guidance, of instruction. And perhaps it's because, much like the Torah says in Parshas Vayera with regard to Avraham Avinu, Kadosh Baruch Hu says in Perek Yilches, Ki Yedativ, I love Avraham. Why? L'man asher yitzav es banav es beis u'achrav, because he's going to instruct his children after him. V'shamru derech Hashem, that they should observe the path of God, lasos tzedakah mishpat, to carry out piety, judgment, justice. So you see from Avraham himself that this was a reason for God's love of Avraham, that he was going to pass along this legacy to his children and grandchildren after him. And that's what we see by Yaakov, so we see by David. And it certainly is something which is critical, that a parent should pass along to the next generation that which is most important, that he wants his sons, children to carry on after him. And perhaps more so than just what one teaches over the course of a lifetime of parenting, clearly the last words and message that one gives a child are so impactful. Perhaps so many of us can recall the last words spoken or the last meaningful interaction with a parent, grandparent of the last generation. And certainly this last, if you want to call it ethical will, is so potent in that the child recognizes the significance of it, and it's far more memorable than perhaps much of what had been shared maybe earlier on in life. And therefore, the potential to make a lasting impact with this last tzava, as we refer to it, is so tremendous and so significant that we find that it is emphasized by Gedolim throughout the generations. Rav Pam himself, they write, told his children, I would receive much nachas in Olam HaEmes if you were to learn Sefer Chofetz Chaim, Sefer Avas Chesed. That's what he valued. And perhaps one could even see within any one parent's or grandparent's last tzava, that which they value so much so that this is what's on their mind at the very end of their life. And this is what they want to be most remembered by or want to ensure that they communicate so clearly to the next generation. So that's the opening pasuk here in the Haftarah, Perek Beis, Pasuk Aleph, and Malachim Beis, Malachim Aleph. The Navi then continues, Anochi holech b'derech kol ha'aretz. David tells Shlomo, I am going the way of the world. V'chazakta v'yisa le'ish. A dual message there. Strengthen yourself and be a man. That's a fascinating phrase. V'yisa le'ish, be a man. We find in Pirkei Avos, b'makom she'ein ish, if there's no ish, hishtadelios ish, become that ish. What does ish mean here? So on the one hand, in Mefarshim, the Malbim points out that Shlomo HaMelech here at this point in life is only 12 years old. So his father is dying, he's 12 years old, he's a boy. And he's going to become king of Israel, he's going to take on this huge, overwhelming responsibility. So of course, David is telling him, Chazakta, be firm, be strong, v'yisa le'ish, be courageous. That's what the Malbim says the Pshat is. V'chazakta, that you have to strengthen yourself, and v'hayisa le'ish, when you deal with others in your role as king, you're a 12-year-old boy, but don't be afraid of anybody. In other words, recognize the influence that you wield and what you stand for and what you're capable of, and don't be afraid of anybody. Even though you're 12 years old, don't be a pushover, don't be intimidated. So that, according to the Malbim, is the message here being given by David to Shlomo when he says, v'chazakta v'hayisa le'ish. The Radak understands v'hayisa le'ish a little differently. Whereas Malbim said v'hayisa le'ish means be firm, be courageous, don't be afraid, despite your youthful age. The Radak says v'hayisa le'ish, we find the word ish in Tanakh often refers to someone who is in control of himself. Moshe benafsho, kovish es yitzro, be disciplined. Or in the words of Targum Yonasan, be one who is a yarechet. Ish refers to someone who is on a spiritual stature of note. We know, for example, the Ramban says, when it comes to the Meraglim in Parsha Shlach, the Pasuk says, Kulam Anoshim. They are all Anoshim. Now that's Enosh, not Ish, but that reference in Tanakh to being a man often connotes a significant spiritual stature. And that's what Radak says, David is instructing Shlomo. You're becoming king of the country. You're but young, a young man. Make sure you are in complete self-control. Be kovesh es yitzricha, be a yarechet. And what does David then say to Shlomo at this point? So, again, try to bear in mind, he's talking to a 12-year-old boy. He's trying to give him last words of chizuk before he dies. Shlomo's about to take on an overwhelming responsibility, especially for someone this young. And David then tells him the following. First and foremost, in Pasuk Gimel, David tells him, Vishamarta es mishmeres Hashem alekecha. Keep to that which God wants you to observe. In what sense? Now, numerous phrases now come up in the pasuk, and the Malbim takes them apart one by one. L'lechas b'drachav, says the Malbim, to emulate the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Notice, the first instruction that David is giving Shlomo is midos. Yes, be strong, be courageous. Okay, that's because he's such a young boy, 12 years old, taking on a huge responsibility. And when it comes to tachlis, spiritually speaking, what is it that I ask of you? The first thing he says is l'leches b'drachav, which Malbim says, v'halachta b'drachav. Emulate God's midos. Be compassionate, be patient, be slow to anger. That's the first thing that he tells Shlomo to do. Midos. That, of course, brings to mind the famous comment of the Vilna Gaon, commenting on, perhaps not surprisingly, Shlomo HaMelech's words in Mishlei, where Shlomo says, in Perek Yedalad, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Hachazek b'musar al teref nitzreha kihi chayacha. Shlomo says in Mishlei, take hold of Musar, guard it. Don't loosen your grasp, because that is life. And the Vilna Gaon says, what does Shlomo HaMelech mean when he says that Musar is life? So the Vilna Gaon writes the following. He says, Kima sha'adam chai hu kadei lishbar hamida shelo shavar adhena. The purpose of life is to rectify, perfect one's midos. And any midah that one needs to perfect and hasn't done so yet, that's what he's living for. He's living to perfect that midah that needs improvement. That is what life is all about. Tikkun HaMidos. Now perhaps that's reflected here. David's first instructions to Shlomo are L'lechas Bedrachav. Midos. Next, V'lishmor Chukosav, which the Malbim says means mitzvos that we can't provide a rational explanation for. At the most challenging, why would I do that? Why would I keep Shatnez? There's no rational basis for it. It's the mitzvos that are so easy to undermine if you're looking to find fault with the system. The mitzvos that are so easy to challenge if you are lacking in emuna. So David HaMelech reinforces this with Shlomo, Lishmor Chukosav, those mitzvos that don't have any rational, readily understandable reason behind them, be careful with those. And then mitzvosav, that says the Malbim means the mitzvos that we understand. Don't kill, don't steal, kibud av v'aim. Those mitzvos have rational explanations for them. Then comes mishpatav, that's the interpersonal mitzvos of the Torah, says the Malbim. And finally, v'eid vosav, coming from the word eidos, the mitzvos which Malbim says, such as Shabbos or Yom Tov, that remind us of God's creation of the world, that remind us of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the mitzvos that when we observe them provide eidos to us about what God has done for us. That's the eid vosav mitzvos. So David HaMelech gives them a whole long list of what to be careful with, starting with midos, moving on to chukim, and then rational mitzvos, then adam lachavero, and then those mitzvos that remind us of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for us. And he says, in order that you should succeed, or not just succeed, but lama'an taskil, that you should intuitively understand, eis kol asher taseh, that which you should do, veis kol asher tifneh sham, and which way you should go. When one observes mitzvos, says the mitzudos, you can intuitively then determine how to act, even in scenarios which aren't explicitly mentioned in the Torah. So by observing mitzvos carefully, you'll have that intuition, how to conduct yourself in all crossroads of decision. And finally, in Pasuk Dalet, just the completion of this one unit of instruction that David is giving Shlomo, David then says, and this is in order that God should fulfill the promise he made to me, that if my sons will Yishmru banechas darkam, they will keep to the proper path. Lalechas lafanai be'emes, to serve me, says God, truthfully with all their heart and soul. If that then happens, then the God's promise to David was, lo yikaris l'cha'ish me'al kisei Yisrael. Your royal lineage will remain intact. Generation after generation, the throne will be yours, it will be in your family. Now, the Mefarshim explained that David is not just saying, oh, do mitzvos so you get reward. That's not the ideal that we strive for. Antignesh is socho, in Perkei Avos, Perek Aleph, don't be mekayim mitzvos al menas lekabel pras. And yet it seems like, at least initially, the Malbim is troubled, that David is telling Shlomo, you want to stay on the throne, do these mitzvos. It's not exactly what was intended here, says the Malbim. What David is saying is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to fulfill the promise he made for me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to ensure that the Malchus-based David remains intact. So please do it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sake, so to speak. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want this for you, but it's dependent upon your children being shown the Torah mitzvos throughout the generations. So David's asking Shlomo, please enable HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, to do that which he wants to do, but he will only do so if you ensure that you remain loyal to the path of Torah. I guess that's the first unit, segment of instruction that is given here by David to Shlomo. At this point now, David now veers away from what is simply a spiritual, ben adam lamakom, speech of inspiration, and he now veers into what appears to be more of the personal. And this is somewhat puzzling, perhaps, and subject to question. Because here now David speaks in Pasuk Hey, Vigam, and also, Ataya Data, you know, he says to Shlomo, Eis Asha Asali Yoav Ben Sruya, that which Yoav did to me, or that which he committed against me, namely, Asha Asal Shnei Sarit Sibos Yisrael, that which he did to the two army officers, commanding generals of Israel, specifically La'avner ben Ner v'La'amasa ben Yeser, to Avner and to Amasa. Vayahar game, he killed them. Vayasem demei milchama b'shalom. This was at a time of peace, and he spilled blood of war during a time of peace. Vayitein demei milchama b'chagoroso. How so? How did he spill blood of war? In his belt, asher b'masnav, that was by his waist. We'll explain that in a moment, what that means. U'b'na'alo asher b'raglav, and the shoe on his foot. So a bit of an introduction here. Yoav ben Tsruya, we are told back in Shmuel Beis, Mefarshim there as well, explain. Yoav ben Tsruya, this is Shmuel Beis, Parakid Zion. Tsruya was actually a sister of David. It's Yoav's mother. Yoav, who was one of the army officers of David's army, was David's nephew. His mother, Tsruya, was David's sister. Amasa ben Yeser, Yeser or Yisra, sometimes he's referred to as, was another nephew of David. His mother was also a sister of David. Not Tsruya, but it was Abigail. Abigail was another sister of David. So you have Amasa and Yoav, who are first cousins. Their mothers, Abigail and Tsruya, were sisters of David. Now, I know Abigail was also the wife of David. This is different Abigail. Abigail, the mother of Amasa, was a sister of David. And again, Tsruya, the mother of Yoav, was a sister of David. So Amasa and Yoav were both commanding army officers for David. They were David's nephews, and they themselves were first cousins. Avner ben Ner was the general under Shaul and subsequently under Shaul's son Ish-bosheth. And what happened here, as described in Shmuel Beis, Perek Zayin, Perek Chaf, was the following two stories that David is now referring back to. The two stories are as follows. Amasa had at one point in time sided with Avshalom, who was David's rebellious son, but he subsequently made peace with David. When in Perek Chaf of Shmuel Beis, there was another rebellion or secessionist movement against David, led by a man named Sheva ben Bichri, David appointed Amasa to take charge of the army to attack and to arrest or kill Sheva ben Bichri. Yoav, the first cousin of Amasa, the Mefarshim say was jealous of Amasa's appointment. Yoav had been vying for that position of chief of staff. He was passed over or even demoted by David from that position because Yoav was the one who had killed Avshalom against David's express wishes. So Yoav killed Avshalom, David's son. David was very upset about that. David therefore declined to appoint or to maintain Yoav as his chief of staff. And he instead intended to appoint Amasa to that position, Yoav's first cousin. Out of jealousy, Yoav kills Amasa. How did he do so? The way he did so was with deceit. What he did, the Pasuk describes, is he knew that if he's going to draw his sword on Amasa, Amasa's going to defend himself, and then there's no guarantee as to who's going to come out on top. What he did was is that he fastened his sword to his belt in such a way that it wasn't straight up as it usually is. The sheath or the holding case of the sword, he fastened it somewhat on an angle to his waist, such that when he bent down, which he did when he approached Amasa, the sword fell out onto the floor. Yoav intended for that to happen. According to some Mefarshim, he bent down to tie his shoe as he approached Amasa. As he bent down, his sword, like he knew it would, fell out of its sheath, scabbard, whatever the word is. And Yoav, therefore, understandably, picks up his sword. Why not? Fell on the floor. As he picks it up, he stands up. He leans forward, the Pasuk says, grabs Amasa by the beard to give him a kiss. And Amasa, not realizing that Yoav was still holding the sword for a nefarious reason, he thought he was just picking it up because it fell out accidentally. was unguarded at the time. As Yoav reaches for Amasa, he takes the sword and stabs Amasa to death. So this was after Amasa made peace with David. That's why the pasuk speaks here of Vayasem Demei Melchama B'Shalom. He spilled blood of war in a time of peace. The pasuk speaks of the Demei Melchama B'Chagorosa Asher B'Masnav, the belt by his waist, meaning a reference to the fact that he fastened his sword to his waist in such a way that he knew it would fall out when he bent down. And Ubena'alo Asher B'Ragav, kind of some of the force that it means, as he bent down to fix his shoe. This is all part of his plot, his plan to deceive Amasa, to keep him vulnerable and off balance and unexpecting an attack, which ultimately Yoav, as a result, took advantage of and killed Amasa. And with Avner as well, it was after Avner, who had been commanding Ishbosheth's army, Avner made peace with David, and Yoav as well. There the Chazal say that Yoav engaged Avner in a halachic discussion relating to the shoe used for chalitza, and once again, Avner, off guard, not expecting, was killed by Yoav. That murder also, we are told, was because Yoav wanted to avenge the death of his brother, Asael. Asael had been killed by Avner in battle, even though Avner had warned him off and told him, I'm going to kill you. Asael didn't heed the warning. He was killed by Avner. And then Yoav, to avenge his brother's death in a time of peace, killed Avner instead. And so David now is angry at Yoav ben Tzruya for these two murders of Avner and of Amasa. And he describes it as Asher Asali. It's an offense committed against me. I had made peace with Amasa. I had made peace with Avner. And now my own army officer shows that I can't be trusted. And what happens now? So as a result, David says to Shlomo, V'asisa kichachmasecha, do in accordance with your wisdom, v'lo sored sevaso b'shalom sheol. Don't allow him to die peacefully. Don't allow him to die peacefully. Which Mefarshim explain means that David is telling Shlomo, find an opportunity to kill Yoav. And this is the first of the two personal, I would use the word vendetta, but I'm not sure that's the appropriate word to use, that David shares with Shlomo. The first one, so again, is to punish Yoav. To punish Yoav. And then David continues. He now moves on to Akar Satov for one pasuk. He speaks of the sons of Barzilai HaGiladi, the individual or the family that had sheltered David and given him food when he was fleeing from Avshalom. So David, to be Makir Tov, says to Shlomo, make sure you do chesed with the sons of Barzilai HaGiladi. Why? Because they were kind to me when I was fleeing from Avshalom. And then, the last of the two personal, again, vendetta is not the right word, but that's what I'll use for a moment. V'hinei imcha Shimi ben Gera ben Hayimini mi'bachurim. With you is Shimi ben Gera, who was from Sheva Binyamin. And it's because he was from Binyamin that he was resentful of David, who had replaced Shaul, who was from Binyamin. And David says, "V'hu kilani klala nimretzes biyom lechti machanayim." Shimi ben Gera cursed me forcefully. And the Radak quotes the curse. He called David an ish hadamim, a man of blood; ish hablial, a corrupt, evil person. And David says, but he came to ask forgiveness. He came to meet me when I came to the Yarden. And I swore to him that I would not kill him. So he cursed me. He's deserving of death. But I swore to him that I would not kill him. And therefore, don't cleanse him. Don't acquit him. Once again, reference to Shlomo's wisdom, just as David mentioned in the context of Yoav. V'adata es asher ta'asalo. You know what, you'll know what you should do to him. And whereas by Yoav, David had said, don't allow him to go to the grave peacefully, here, the comment is more forceful. The horadata esse vaso bedam sha'ol. Take him to the grave in blood. Meaning, also, don't allow him to die peacefully. Find a reason to kill him. And as Rav Yigal Ariel notes, it's somewhat striking that these are the last words that David shares with Shlomo. The next pasuk, Vayishkav David Mavosov, Vayikover Be'er David. David dies, he's buried. The last words we have on record from him are the words, Bidam Sha'ol, in blood to the grave. That's somewhat unsettling. That's the last words that David is remembered by, in blood to the grave. Is he leaving us with leaving Shlomo with a memory of angry vengeance and revenge and bloodthirsty desire for someone's head? It seems somewhat inappropriate, perhaps. So Yigal Ariel does point out that although perhaps that's the last words mentioned here in Malachim, but if you look in Dibra Hayamim Aleph, Perek Chaf Beis, we find an additional tzava'a given by David to Shlomo. There the tzava'a is, Vayikra l'shlomo beno vayitzaveihu, livnos bayis l'Hashem elokei Yisrael. Build a house for God. Build a mikdash. And we find also, writes Rabbi Yigal Ariel, in Dibra Hayamim Aleph, Perek Chaf Ches, there also it says, David instructs Shlomo, Vata Shlomo beni, Da es elokei avicha. You should know God. God of your father. Ve'avdei b'leif shalem. Serve him with a whole heart. U'benevesh chafetza. With a desirous soul. Kikol levavos derech Hashem. Because God seeks the heart. Ve'kol yitzah machshavos mevin. God knows the thoughts of man. Im tidrashenu. If you seek God, yimatzilach. You'll find him. Im tazvenu yaznichach alad. If you abandon him, he'll abandon you. So those two messages in Divrei Yomim would seem to be more, I want to call it to our mind, appropriate. Build the Beis HaMikdash, serve God willingly. So Yigal Ariel suggests that although here in Sefer Malachim, this is the one message that's given and the last words of this message are Bedam Sha'ol, it could be David gave Shlomo numerous different messages. And just here, because in Perek Aleph of Malachim, which we didn't learn just now, was the story of Adonijo trying to seize the throne. So this particular component of the last Tzava'a David gave Shlomo was all about politics, malchus, how to run the melucha. Yes, this component of his last will given to Shlomo was about Yoav, about Shimei ben Gera, about ruling properly, but there were many other components as well. Build the mikdash, serve God. So you don't have to assume this was the last two words that he uttered, even though in this Sefer Malachim, that is all we see. But aside from that, there are others that also attempt to explain why it would be appropriate for David's last tzava to include what appears to be a desire for revenge. So Chaim Shalatis, for example, is quoted as having said, this is not just personal revenge. It's not what this is all about. This is David's concern for avoidance of Chil Hashem. Because here, just as David warns Shlomo about Barzilai HaGeladi's family, Mida Keneged Mida, they were kind to me, be kind to them. David was worried, perhaps, says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, that what's going to happen? People know Shimei ben Gera cursed David. It was so public. It was a public defiance of the king. If that should go unpunished, people walk away thinking, look at that, a guy can do what he wants and get away with murder, so to speak. How disgraceful, how utter disregard for the king and for the Malchus Yisrael goes unpunished. David felt not that this is a personal score that has to be settled, but that this is in the interests of Kavod Shemayim, of Malchus Yisrael. People have to recognize that there's justice. Mida keneged mida, whether it be punishment for Avera or reward for mitzvos. That's how the world works. There's always a din v'cheshbon, a din and a dayan. That, says Chaim Shlomo, is David's ultimate concern here. A fascinating pshat is that of the Barbanel. Barbanel, and although this might not be the posh pshat in the psukim, but because he's so troubled by the last tzava here in the psukim, Barbanel says, David wasn't ordering Shlomo to kill Yoav and Shimei ben Gera. David was saying, be wary of them. Be on guard. Again, Prabhupada's talking to 12-year-old son, taking over the Malchus Israel. He wants to caution him. Make sure you're careful. I don't want you to suffer from them, perhaps even in worse ways than I suffered from them. And therefore, the Bavanel suggests that what's really happening here is that David is just cautioning Shlomo, be on guard, be cautious. Now, the trouble with that is that's not Pashup Shad in the Psukim. When David tells Shlomo, with regard to Shimon ben Gera, the Horadata es sevaso bedam shaol, it sounds like an instruction. Make sure you kill him, you have him killed. The Radak also notes that even though David himself could not kill Shimon ben Gera because he swore and promised him that he would not kill him, but he is telling Shlomo, look for an opportunity to find if there's ever any other offense for which he could be legally put to death as a means of punishment, perhaps, that David could not carry out, that nonetheless Shlomo should look for opportunity to do so. Okay. So this is the last, in this in Sefer Melachim, instructions that that David gives Shlomo HaMelech. And just to conclude, one last interpretation, one last shot here that the Meshech Chachma offers, that David is telling Shlomo to kill Yoav because David himself, we know, was not allowed to build a mikdash because he had too much blood on his hands. Even though he was justified in fighting for Klal Yisrael, but he had blood on his hands. He couldn't build the mikdash as a result. David knew and David wanted Shlomo to be the one to build the mikdash. So David says, the Meshech Chachma is telling Shlomo that don't wait until too late to kill Yoav or Shimi ben Gera, because that might prevent the Shechinah from coming down to the Beis HaMikdash. So he's telling Shlomo before the Binyan HaBayis, take care of Yoav, punish Yoav. Yoav's sin of murder should not be left unpunished because maybe that will prevent the Shechinah from coming down to the Mikdash. David wanted to ensure that when Shlomo was ready to build the Mikdash, there would be nothing in the way, such as Yoav's sin of murder shouldn't be in the way of the Shechinah coming down to the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, David's telling Shlomo to take care of that right now before anything else, so that should be punished, out of the way, should not be an obstacle to Shechinah in Klal Yisrael. And the concluding psukim of the Haftorah just tell us that after David dies and is buried, we are told that David ruled 40 years total, Hebron 7 years, Yerushalayim 33 years, Shlomo HaMelech takes over, he sits Al Kisei David Aviv. He sits on David's throne, David's own chair. Interesting. Just last comment. I heard from Rav Meir Twersky that Rav Chaim Kanievsky, after his father passed away, sat in the Stipler Gaon's chair. And even though obviously during a father's lifetime, you can't ever sit in a father's chair, but the Rav Chaim Kanievsky said, here, look in this pasuk, Shlomo Yashav Al Kisei David Aviv. Shlomo sat in David's throne, on his chair. Apparently, after a father's passing, it becomes then a source of nachas, or kavod for the father. The son has filled his position, taken over his role, sitting in his chair, literally. And the last words of the Haftarah, Vatikon Malchus HaMa'od, his Malchus, I guess, having received this chizuk and instruction from David, his malchus was very, very firm, very, very stable, very, very secure. Okay, we'll conclude here. Thank you, everyone, for joining, for listening.